Everyone who's lost someone they love long before it was their time. You feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all of the people with burdens and pains keeping you back from your life, you believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. And there is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. There is
good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, April 13th, 2020, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. I hope you had a good weekend. And praise the Lord, he is risen, right? I think that we could use a miracle. personally, I think we could. I think we're in quite a fix. And we're seeing now a situation where it seems to be pretty self-evident that the possibility now exists. You know, I think before, say, January of this year, I'm not sure that anyone would have agreed with the possibility that someone could shut the world down with words, as Richie from Boston put it. I think that's a good way to put it. But we're seeing it now. And what's even more astonishing to me is that the hubris that has been used to shut the world down is just sort of out in plain view. It's on display for all the world to see. I want to talk about solutions, but we're going to start with an entry from Old School Bad Guy. I think it's fascinating that I keep seeing Event 201 people pop up and nobody in the mainstream press is talking about it. Bill Gates was on BBC Breakfast this weekend, and there was lots of talk about, you know, 5 years ago, you gave a talk, it was strikingly similar. Well, what about the thing that happened back in October? That was even more strikingly similar. And what's even more interesting is these folks that are popping up all over the place, like Tom Inglesby, who showed up again this weekend. There's no mention of the Event 201 stuff. So I want to get to Bill Gates real quick, and I don't know. I might offer some color commentary. This might end up going over a couple of segments, but I think I might interject from time to time because there are some. It's just awful. I shouldn't probably say too much. We should let it play, but I don't think I can help it. So it's astonishing. You know, you'll hear, for example, well, what about safety? You know, is there? I mean, do we have to? You know, do we have to wait until, you know, whatever this vaccine is that you just seem to magically know somehow, Bill Gates, that we absolutely have to have? We're not making any money here. We're giving it all away. I've heard car salesmen say the same thing. No, we're not making any money. Somehow you guys managed to stay in business and keep the lights on. Somehow, as just wonderful philanthropic humanitarian as the Gates Foundation is, a guy who left his post at Microsoft and Berkshire Hathaway. Why did you do that, Bill Gates? Why did you do that? Oh, that's right. So you could focus your time because you hadn't been doing that before. Now suddenly you have to, it's just to focus your time. Certainly not to divest yourself of anything so that you could buy things up for pennies on the dollar later, right? The best time to buy is when there's blood in the streets, Bill. So he's a wonderful philanthropist, but somehow in all of that philanthropic work, magically, it just keeps multiplying. The Gates Foundation starts out with a $5 billion endowment, and magically they just give it all away, and it just keeps multiplying. It's so amazing. Just can't give it away fast enough. The point is, I'm being facetious. That's not the truth. And he says, you know, what he should be, the word that he should be using when it comes to most of this foundation work is invest. We've been investing because that's what it is. Most people would be shocked to learn the Gates Foundation has several investment arms, shall we say, that are building a portfolio of investments under the Gates Foundation umbrella. I thought that sounds illegal. to me. Why can't we all run a scheme like that? Tax exempt, investment scheme? Sounds like a great idea. Where can we all sign up for that? Because every American should have the opportunity to do that. That's kind of the way things were operating before the national income tax was imposed on people. Yeah, but how will we build roads and how will we build schools and things? Somehow it all managed to occur. We just didn't have, you know, technocratic hubris printing, you know, digits out of thin air. $2 trillion. Well, $6 or $7 trillion, but who's counting? We'll call it two now. You guys are going to get all of it as soon as we're done with our little processing and handling fee. Anyway, we'll break this over a couple of segments, but I want to give you a little bit of this. This is, it's absolutely disgusting, but hopefully it's useful. And I don't want to get stuck on talking about Bill Gates. I don't understand how this is happening. I really don't. This man is not a doctor. He has epidemiologists in his pocket on the payroll, literally. You know, IHME is Bill Gates. Chris Murray is Bill Gates. The Imperial College London was too far removed, you know, through the World Health Organization, through WHO's SAGE. Imperial College, that's too far removed. You know what? Neil's not jumping. He's not hopping too. He's not stepping too quick enough. So you know what? We got this other guy, Murray. Same day, the White House switched from the Imperial College London model when Ferguson said, you know, I don't think it's going to be nearly as dramatic. March 26th, the same day, the White House Coronavirus Task Force, Deborah Birx, she got out in front of it. They have been, you know, these guys, man, they're cagey. These are the veterans. They're watching. They're managing the talking points. They're rolling right out in front. They're definitely flooding the zone. And everyone else is being shouted down and out. And I got a little bit of an idea that we'll discuss today. I sort of talked about it on Friday. But I think everybody in every county, shall we say, should be pressing their county elected officials and should be pressing the governor in every state with, you know, possibly the exception of maybe New York and New Jersey, but I don't even believe that. Maybe I'll wait at this point and we'll do it in the next long segment. What I have sort of happened upon that I think is important, first of all, if you haven't seen Professor Knut Witkowski's interview by Journeyman Pictures, I highly encourage you to watch nothing else, or if you have the opportunity, do nothing else until you watch it. It's not that long. I have it in at least one place on therwr.com. If you scroll down below additional sources, it's the second video, Perspectives on the Pandemic, Episode 2, Professor Knut Witkowski. And there's also transcripts to that and number one, but I will watch number two first and listen to what a well-respected, tenured, one of the top epidemiologists in the world is saying. And he says that this is absolute nonsense. Basically, we're looking at the seasonal flu. And that's what we're looking at. See, technocrats have grabbed some lies, damn lies, and statistics, and they are baffling the world. You know, what is it when you can't dazzle them with your brilliance, baffle them with your lies, damn lies, and statistics, I think is. So what I posted that thing on Friday that I mentioned. Flatten the curve is counterproductive. TheRWR.com. Hashtag flatten the curve is counterproductive. And it is. You can see how it extends the timeline. Everybody says that. I included Dr. Caitlin Rivers in there, who is an Event 201 participant. If you watch the videos, especially video number 4, the propaganda video, I'm sorry, communications, then you will see Dr. Rivers there at the beginning within the first 20 seconds of that video. That's her. And she's been quoted in the media. Like I said, I mentioned in the that post, flatten the curve is counterproductive, that she was quoted in the Boston Herald last week. Returning to a state of normalcy following the coronavirus pandemic will require a series of delicate stages involving breaking the chain of transmission. This is a report that she co-authored. And by the way, there's another one, another report that I found, which is these people, and nobody's talking about the fact that they've been doing these things. How did they get all of these, you know, think tanky type things all ready and pretty for right now? Well, the answer is obviously they don't. They've been plotting and scheming and waiting for the right, perfectly, opportune crisis. You never want a really, really, really good crisis. I mean, you can just see it. These people are salivating. Bill Gates looks like he's salivating. It's disgusting. Opportunities of crisis. You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. What I mean by that is an opportunity to do things you think you could not do before. I mentioned the, what's his name? We got to play that soundbite, actually. The gentleman who was part of the panel, I can't remember his name, darn it. Yeah, SNF Agora Conversations, is it that one? I don't think it's that one. That's Caitlin, right? No. Yeah, I think that's it. Or not. Imagining a new moral economy. That's it. Angus Bergen. He said it. Well, you know, I think when a crisis comes along, the deciding was already decided, is essentially what he's saying. What people don't realize is that if you look at that flatten the curve graphic, you're stretching something out. How do they know? How does Bill Gates know it's going to take forever? Well, because they're flattening the curve, which means it's going to stretch out this thing that should be over in about 4 weeks at the most, 2 to 4 weeks, according to, again, world-renowned epidemiologists like Knut Witkowski, and he's not the only one. Witkowski. Anyway. Many are saying that it's just the seasonal flu, but they're being shouted out, flooded out of the zone in Event 201 fashion. So what's going to happen is, and as he said, the second wave is a natural byproduct. It's an outgrowth of this flattening of the curve, because when you lift containment, you're going to get another outbreak, because this thing is going to try to run its course, and it should. But they're going to drag it out for 12 to 18 months to wear the people out and to finish their little R&D magic trick to make it look like, oh, look, we just came up with something. We finally did it. We marshaled all these resources and, oh, just in time to save the day. We'll be right back.
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
People, I think I should do it every segment. Where this breaks down, in my humble opinion, is this argument that we are overburdening the healthcare system capacity. And in the graphic that I posted, which is one of the official graphics that's floating around, you know, the think tanky people like Caitlin Rivers are using this graphic. That's what you see. We have this explosion of things happening. And with this explosion of things happening, and so we're overwhelming the healthcare system capacity. Well, first of all, what is the healthcare system capacity? We haven't heard that, have we? And so we see lots of numbers. Like if I go to the official, you know, Johns Hopkins, funny that Johns Hopkins is managing the data, part of the flood. We need to get away from that dashboard that everybody's using. So if I go there this morning, what do I see? I see what I'm going to see. People don't realize, I think, in most cases, what they're looking at. When you look down in the bottom right-hand corner of the COVID-19 dashboard by the Center for System Science and Engineering, Johns Hopkins University, down there in the corner, confirmed cases. Oh, look at that. It's a hockey stick, Chris. We're all going to die. The hockey stick is going to get us. Well, first of all, that number is dramatically inflated. Many people have talked about that. I touched on that last week. Even Deborah Burks says, we are taking a very liberal approach to mortality. In other words, anything that they can find that they can throw a tag on is going to be called COVID-19. As what's his name, you know, over the Ron Paul Institute put it, I could die in a car crash and they'd say I died of COVID-19. That's not a stretch. Those numbers are inflated. The problem is not necessarily that those numbers are inflated, although that, you know, like I said, that corrupts the database in a number of ways. It helps bad guys cover their tracks when they're doing what they're doing, but it also basically that data becomes worthless. And as Knut Bukowski put it in that interview that I mentioned, there's no way to deconvolute the data. And they may deconvolute the data later, but you won't hear about it, and it'll be after the surveillance has been set up, and there is a big push on that, trust me. I mentioned report from the Boston Herald interview of Caitlin Rivers. So the American Enterprise Institute report, National Coronavirus Response, a roadmap to reopening. Has anybody read that? These are the talking points. And I think that people should be going around and saying, you know, it's curious. These guys had this stuff ready to go because they'd already planned this, and how do they feel about this stuff? Well, we'll play the clip from the segment here in a second. The Imagining a New Moral Economy. Psychopaths all salivate over a great crisis. People need to understand. I keep talking about the Reese Committee and what, you know, there's that segment. Norman Dodd talks about, you know, coming from New York bank, a Morgan bank, a high-placed New York Bank. I heard, Dodd said, the director of the Reese Committee research, that these guys, in other words, the same forces behind things like the business plot, the same forces behind what's going on now, today, in America, 100 years later, were trying to engineer this kind of a situation. Perfectly good crisis, always around the next corner. I'd say they've succeeded. We need to understand that and move away from that and understand how they do that. And then start to work to prevent that. Or we could just throw ourselves on the ash heap of history. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
Adoption of children in our family has taught us, taught me especially, an adopted child is no less a son or a daughter than my natural born children. And to apply that in a spiritual sense, I have learned that to be a son of God makes me no less his son than his true son. Adoption has changed my life, but it's also changed my relationship with my Father in heaven.
Praise to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our God and our King. To him we will sing. In his great mercy he has given us life. Now we can be called the children of God.
Bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Monday, April 13th. It's important to understand that, you know, reflecting after Sunday yesterday, and it's just a point in time, you know, that passage in Colossians, like I say, you know, it's a shadow of things to come. The substance belongs to Christ. So it's important to understand that eugenicists, you know, Francis Galton coined the term. He said that after reading Charles Darwin's Origin of Species, he wrote Darwin a letter and congratulated him and said, "Hey, cousin, congratulations. That frees us from the theological argument that the life of mankind is priceless. You're a child of God." Life is priceless, not just precious, priceless. So Galton congratulated Darwin and said, now you've freed us from that. And we can say, because of what you've written, you know, we can push this argument and say, you know what? Sorry, the rest of mankind, you are biologically inferior and therefore you must die. And that's the arguments that's been pushed ever since. James Corbett did a good job in the Big Oil series of pointing out that the wealth, the obscene wealth that's been created by robber barons, Bill Gates is a robber baron, is viewed by them, it's construed as the new divine right of kings. And along with that comes this eugenicist idea that somehow they're biologically superior and so they deserve to live, of course. I mean, look what they've done. Look what I have done. The Bible says you're at great risk when you start thinking that way. So, and like Jesus told Pilate, you have no power except what was granted, what was given you. He's the one who gives you the opportunity to get wealth, and he's the kingmaker, etc. He's the one who, you know, it's all under his purview. So that was the argument that they came up with, the Darwinian argument. Now, what's important is this did not end with, you know, the passing of Francis Galton, for example. And in Francis Fukuyama's Our Post-Human Future, Consequences of the Biotechnology Revolution, which was published back in 2002, he speaks to some of this. You know, he gets into the subject of eugenics and mentions Francis Galton on pages 27 and 85. And as he's getting into this story, chapter 5 is titled Genetic Engineering. He quotes Nietzsche to open the chapter. Thus spoke Zarathustra. All beings so far have created something beyond themselves, and do you want to be the ebb of this great flood and even go back to the beasts rather than overcome man? What is the ape to man? A laughingstock or painful embarrassment? And man shall be just that for the overman. A laughingstock or painful embarrassment. You have made your way from worm to man, and much in you is still worm. Actually, I think it's interesting that the World Revolutionary Movement, the acronym for that is worm. So once you were apes, and even now too, man is more ape than any ape. That's Friedrich Nietzsche. So anyway, what's the point? Well, Fukuyama takes the old eugenics, that, you know, forced sterilization and all kinds of human experiments and things, grotesquery, like the Japanese Unit 731. I usually, when I mention that, I say, you know, look up the word vivisection and you'll kind of understand what I mean. When you think about that, and you think about what's done to frogs in the biology lab and that it's been done to people, then you, I think, I don't know, it's horrifying enough to do that stuff on animals, but, you know. So, anyway, I digress. Genetic engineering. Francis Fukuyama says this is the eugenics of old. Where is this eugenic stuff going? Is it just that we can create designer babies? No, of course not. Chapter 6 is titled Why You Should Worry. Quotes Aldous Huxley from Brave New World. Take ectogenesis. Ectogenesis, that's an interesting word. Only these kinds of people would use these kinds of terms. Pfizer and Kawaguchi had got the whole technique worked out. But would the governments look at it? Pfizer is mentioned. Imagine that. But would the governments look at it? No. There was something called Christianity. Women were forced to go on being viviparous. Again, another word that, you know, paints a good thing in a disfavorable light, or seemingly. So in this chapter, why should we worry? Chapter 5 is titled Genetic Engineering. Chapter 6 is titled Why We Should Worry. And he goes back, you know, hanging over the entire field of genetics has been the specter, hanging over the entire field of genetics has been the specter of eugenics. That is, the deliberate breeding of people for certain selectable heritable traits. Actually, it's the extermination of certain folks. It's really kind of the issue. I mean, this, you know, breeding people like dogs is bizarre enough. The inbreeding certain, you know, elitist groups. It's funny. They point at people, you guys are all inbred. Well, no, actually, you guys are the inbreeders. That's what's weird about it. You know, the common folk don't run around saying, you are of good stock, so therefore, they don't do that. Continuing, heritable traits. The term eugenics was coined by Charles Darwin's cousin, Francis Galton. In the late 19th century and early 20th centuries, state-sponsored eugenics programs attracted surprisingly broad support. Maybe from international industrialists, but, you know, not just from right-wing racists and social Darwinists, but from such progressives as the Fabian Socialists, Beatrice and Sidney Webb, and George Bernard Shaw, the communists, J.B.S. Haldane and J.D. Bernal, and the feminist birth control proponent, Margaret Sanger. United States and other Western countries passed eugenics laws, permitting the state to involuntarily, in other words, forcibly sterilize people deemed imbeciles, quote-unquote. And the problem we run into over and over is, who decides? Who decides? One person's genius is another person's imbecile. One person's social, one person's Don Quixote is another person's imbecile. We must sterilize and execute the quixotic in a kindly enough manner. Western countries passed eugenics laws permitting the state to involuntarily sterilize people deemed imbeciles while encouraging people with desirable characteristics to have as many children as possible. Does Bill Gates have more than one child? I'm just asking. Does Bill Gates have more than one child? Because, you know, the way we get that population down, who's going to, you know, is he going to sacrifice one of his children on the altar of, global warming and the carbon footprint? And he's not? Why is that? I mean, I wouldn't advocate that. He is. So why doesn't he start with his own family first? Why doesn't he do that? Because some animals are more equal than others. And speaking of that, there's that article about Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel heading to Montana. Isn't that nice? Gallatin County. Going right into the fire of Montana, the epidemiological storm. Get into those numbers, probably in the second hour. So, you know, some animals are just more equal than others. All animals are equal, but on the animal farm, some are just more equal than others. Why is that happening? Who's calling the authorities on Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel? Why are the local authorities allowing them? Are they going to self-quarantine like everyone's supposed to when they hit the border there, I wonder? What do you think? They're headed to the Yellowstone Club, apparently, which is, you know, whatever. I won't make any remarks, but you can go anyway. We'll come back to that. This is important stuff, though. People need to understand this is Bill Gates. And I won't get into the history right now, but if you go to Bill Gates' Wikipedia entry, let's see if it's still there, probably today, because, you know, you have to, it's part of when people view these things, What happened was, and I've told this story many times, it's simple. Ivy Lee was hired by John D. Rockefeller to sanitize Rockefeller's reputation, as Gary Allen noted in the Rockefeller file, chapter 4, profit times philanthropy equals power. Profit times philanthropy, and it's not plus, it's times, which is why the Gates Foundation started with a $50 million endowment and suddenly has, or I'm sorry, a $5 million endowment and now has $50 million. And I understand that, you know, Warren Buffett threw his shoulder behind the effort and et cetera, et cetera. But still, profit times philanthropy equals power. So Ivy Lee was hired by John D. Rockefeller to launder his oily robber baron reputation. And it was successful. Ivy Lee was the guy who encouraged Rockefeller to sprinkle dimes on kids. And so what happened in a generation was the parents of one generation, the parents, viewed this guy as a robber baron, and that's what they called him, a miserly, curmudgeonly robber baron. Like, you know, Jay Gould and all these guys. Gould, the guy who said, I could hire one half of the working class to kill the other. That's how they think about people. So Ivy Lee encouraged John D. Rockefeller to sprinkle dimes on the kiddies as he walked into his office, and so he would do that. And the parents called this man a robber baron and a thief, while the children grew up believing him Santa Claus. Apparently, some people think Bill Gates is Santa Claus, but to most of the world, he intends not to be. If he intends to be to anyone. I don't think that he has any sort of really generous, benevolent, philanthropic intentions at all. I really don't. Before setting the, you know, Bill Gates' father sat on the board of Planned Parenthood in Seattle, and the Gates Foundation gave $71 million to Planned Parenthood, the abortion mill. People say, what about women's reproductive rights? What about a child's right to life? I mean, how disgusting, how grotesque that you would even, that thought would cross someone's mind. A sick person came up with the idea and a talking point like that. It's very sad, tragic, and unfortunate that people parrot that kind of nonsense. But the Gates Foundation gave $71 million to those efforts before finally, apparently, as the story goes, Melinda said, well, you know, we probably should, you know, it was a PR stunt, really, is what it amounted to. Now we focus on family planning, helping families plan down to, you know, maybe no children. Okay, how about you first, Bill? No children, starting with you. Because I agree with God. And after the flood, he reissued the command in Genesis 9:7 in particular to be fruitful and multiply. And not just that, he said, and fill the earth. And I think the devil is working against the clock and trying to forestall it. That's what most people don't realize. But the point, getting back to eugenics, is the mindset of these people is that certain people are biologically inferior. But since you just can't go out and sterilize people in large groups with, you know, without creating a Twitter storm these days, what do? Well, you focus on family planning, and if we do a really good job on vaccines, maybe we can get the population growth down by 10 or 15%. At least that's what Bill Gates says. Well, if we want to get that growth down, why don't we start with you? You had three kids. That's completely unacceptable in your model, Bill. Why did you do that? Is it because certain animals are more equal than others in the animal farm? This is not ended. It didn't end 100 years ago. It continued on and it became this new thing. So Francis Fukuyama tells us in Our Post-Human Future, consequences of the biotechnology revolution. We've always been guinea pigs for these people, the American public, the military, people, incarcerated folks. You know, there's a reason that I mention Nesta Webster's words from World Revolution from time to time. And, you know, the context is a little different, but when she wrote, "It is difficult to write of these things calmly, for to deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them seeing whether they're being led is as cowardly as to guide a blind man into a ditch." I think that's what we're talking about. No, it's for your health. It's for your benefit. Vaccines, they're good for you, really. Stick around, I'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. "It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David." Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Welcome back. So, Bill Gates, from his Wikipedia entry under the section titled Philanthropy, it reads, "Gates studied the work of Andrew Carnegie and John D. Rockefeller and donated some of his stock in his Microsoft stock in 1994 to create the William H. Gates Foundation, In 2000, Gates and his wife combined three family foundations, and Gates donated stock valued at $5 billion to create the charitable Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which was identified by the funds for NGO's company in 2013 as the world's wealthiest charitable foundation. With assets reportedly valued at more than $34.6 billion. Foundation allows benefactors to access information that shows how the money is being spent, unlike other major charitable organizations such as the Wellcome Trust. Well, the Gates Foundation partners with the Wellcome Trust. And by the way, if you know, I think I mentioned last week, the Wellcome Trust is, this stuff is old money. This goes back to the East India Company, the opium trade, the original Silk Road, and, you know, this, you know, manipulating and controlling the world through drugs in particular. This is an old thing. So the Wellcome Trust, you know, as a side note on that, Sir Henry Wellcome, pharmaceutical magnate, created the Wellcome Trust. And, you know, people talk about what happens when you have money that's growing tax deferred over time, when it has 100 years to grow, what happens? Well, you take an obscene fortune and you multiply it significantly. Just because you're a wonderful person and you want to help people. Those who are not familiar, there's a lot that's been written about the work of John D. Rockefeller in particular, and Andrew Carnegie is the guy that sort of led the way. There's a post, I've mentioned it from time to time, smokershistory.com/ROCKEFEL.htm. The Rockefeller Institute is the title of the page, and it's just a simple HTML page. It's just, I think it's just written in simple HTML. The title of, at the top of the page, is the Rockefeller Institute. Read that. For those unfamiliar with this history, because I assure you, you read that one page, you will be astonished. The names, the organizations, Ivy League schools, Columbia, Yale, Harvard, all of them. And of course, you know, you have all of the fraternal organizations, particularly groups like Skull and Bones, just literally pirates, Ivy League pirates. You have the Harrimans, the Rockefellers, the Morgans and Warburgs, and, you know, guys like Frederick Taylor Gates and Frederick Lamont Gates. You know, we got to control people at the school. We got to create a school of medicine at places like Johns Hopkins, you know, the Johns Hopkins Endowment. He was one of these guys too. Frederick Taylor Gates, Simon Flexner, of course, in the Flexner Report, which legitimized all of this quackery and witch doctory and voodoo science. Because the allopathic community used to be the witch doctors, but then along came Abraham Flexner. Anyway, second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late-night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.